As you can see, Don is out of town again, and Steve was probably originally going to teach the class, but he nudged me into it a couple weeks ago, or actually, I should say, a month ago or so. So I said, there's something I wanted to talk about or something to discuss. So we got into that, and of course, as I said, I didn't finish. So I got through, I thought it was a page and a half, but it was 2.5 pages, actually. So, but I've added a little bit more here, and we'll kind of go over very quickly what we talked about in a few weeks ago. So, but Steve, welcome back to America. It's good to have you back. Glad you're here safe. He was coming in from China. So, but before we get started, I'll lead us in a word of prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we're thankful for this Lord's Day morning that you've allowed us to study from your word. We're thankful for the opportunity to be together, that we can stir each other up to love and good works. We're thankful that hopefully in an hour or so we will be able to worship you, and we pray that we will do so with in truth, but of course with a proper heart as well. We're thankful for the church here at Brown Street. We pray that you would help us to grow. Help us to grow in our love. Help us to grow in number. But help us to grow in a knowledge of you and your Son and the will that you would have us to know about. We know that there are those that are sick. We know that there are those that are dealing with physical problems. You know who they are, and we ask that you give them the health that they need. We know that there are those that have struggled with their faith, and we pray that we could be a tool to help them get through these times, because we know at times our faith can waver. We have to lean on one another. We're so thankful for Jesus. We're so thankful for the life that he lived, the lessons that he taught us, and how we can read of his example and help us to pattern our example after him. We're so thankful that he was willing to die and that you were willing to resurrect him back up to heaven. And we know through that we have an opportunity to be saved from our sins. And we pray that we would live every day for him. We offer this prayer in the name of Christ. Amen. So, we're going to recap a little bit. A couple weeks ago when we were discussing some things, what were we talking about? What was one of the main topics that we were talking about? What was our goal? Anyone? Approaching people, teaching people. But what was the main, what did I want to get to? Because remember, we were talking about it's not the easiest thing for everyone. But if we want to get to a point where we know that each one of us can do this, what was the question we wanted to ask someone to come to services with us? Just to get to that point where we can say, hey, would you like to come to services with us? So that was our main goal there. And so as we were covering that, we said, hey, how do we start a conversation? And what was the first thing that we said? Yeah, have a nice smile, right? Now, I'm not saying that you're going to just walk around like the Joker. I mean, remember Jack Nicholson, the best Joker, by the way, ever. They come out with a new Batman every 2 years. But he had a constant smile, and that's not what we're doing. We're not going to make this fake. But there should be a peace within us. And we had a number of people read Proverbs 17, Proverbs 15. Where does joy come from? Remember? It comes right here, right? But where did Proverbs also say that it shows up? It shows up on the face. So a great smile is going to show the peace that we should have. And of course, that does not mean that we're not going to have bad days or that we're not going to have bad months or bad years. It can get bad. But overall, how are we dealing with that? And people read us. They know when days are bad. And that's when we kind of show who we are, and people can feed off that. They can see what you're going through. But yet, if you're a person with a smile on your face generally, a person who's happy overall with what you're going through, that is going to feed off to other people, and they're going to notice that. So that was, and again, for those who were not here, this is more like a tutorial. This is not, and I said it's not 100 complete proof on how to get people to come to services, but this is more like a tutorial. Based off basically how you would start a conversation. Jesus said there was a way that we showed signs of that people would know that we are his. He said this in John 13:35. He said, they will know that you are disciples of mine by how you what? Huh? Well, how you talk, that's true, but how we love one another. So it's going to be hard to show the outside world that we love one another without showing some kindness, showing some smiles, things like that. People notice these particular things. So that is just an overall view of when as who you are, we should be overall we should be a kind individual, and it's going to show up on our face just naturally. What was the second thing? I need my water already. Confidence. And we did say that it's not an arrogance. There's people who are arrogant, but there's nothing wrong with being confident. There's nothing wrong with being confident in Christ, being proud to be a Christian. And we mentioned the different definitions that there are. When you're a confident individual or confident about things in your life, you are going to talk about those things. We talk about grandparents, or they talk about their grandchildren. You may be, you're confident in your job. That's going to come up in conversation. You're confident about your kids. You're confident about different sports, whatever it is, a hobby. It's going to come up in your natural conversation with people. The point is that people are going to notice important things in your life, things that you're confident about. And one of the things that we talked about, obviously, was that we should have this confidence in Christ. We looked at the examples. What were some of the examples? Paul said, as much as in me is, I am what? Ready to preach the gospel to those in Rome. He had this confidence. He had this confidence within him. And we also talked about us being in Christ. 1 Peter 3:21, it gives us an answer to a good conscience. If we are in Christ, we put on Christ, as Galatians 3:27 says, we have this confidence in us. So we moved on then from, we start off with, you know, you're walking into a room, you've got a smile about you, there's a confidence in the conversation, you're going to be talking with people, you're going to bring up things. One of the things we're going to do is bring up things about services. Yeah, they're going to notice that you three times a week you go there. People in the neighborhood know that Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, your car's gone, or you're seeing you go. People are going to see these type of things. People just in conversation are going to know that you go to services. This is a great way to kind of segue into inviting people or allowing them to ask. But when we're confident in something, it's going to show up in our daily conversation with people. Third thing we talked about. So we said, we're walking in a room, you're smiling, you've got confidence. What do people like to talk about, we said? They love to talk about themselves. And that's where is being good conversationalists and really just being a Christian, we can read scripture after scripture where it talks about caring about individuals. We just need to what? Sometimes we just need just listen to people. That's what we need to do. So I'm running this down for people who weren't here, a quick rundown. So that's like the third thing that we need to do. We need to listen. If you're an introverted person, if you're a person who's not much of a talker, and that's going to happen. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. So I need to be around introverts. they let me talk, like I said. But if you're not a real outgoing person, that's completely fine. And this is the idea. We need to build on the abilities that we do have. You can still listen to someone. And in fact, those type of people are the best ones to be around because they're willing to listen to people with problems. Remember, we discussed all the different people that are struggling. That's when people are more spiritually minded, when they start to view life. Something happens in their life that whether it's a test of whether or not they're going to live or not, whether it's someone who's dying, whether it's finance problems, all those different things. When things are going great in someone's life, that's usually when we're dependent on ourselves. When it's not going good, that's when you are going to reach people the most, or at least get them in conversations to find out about them, what's going on. And they just want someone to listen to sometimes. And that is going to resonate with them. The fact that we're able to listen and do these type of things and that we care, that is the kind of thing that individuals need. And that is almost sometimes the best example, and it's something easy for each one of us to do. You don't have to be a talker. You can be a good, very good listener. Let's see here. I think I'm going to be getting down to where I was at. Talked about when people are in need. That was the other thing. When we say to an individual, if we come to an individual and they've, hey, how's it going? Well, man, I'm having all these different type of problems. James 2:15 says, you know, when you say, well, I hope everything goes good. That's not gonna help out anyone that says, well, I hope your day gets better. Well, you know, I just lost my job. Well, I hope it gets better. Hang in there. That's when we can really reach people, when we're sitting and talking with them, and it shows that we do care. And this is, I think, comes down almost to where I was at. I'm not sure. Last week, or a couple weeks ago, some people, they came to me and they were like, listen, your wife tried to bring up a point, and she's not here today because she's yucky today. She's not doing good. She's kind of got the cooties, pretty sick. So I told her to stay home. But since she's not here, I wanted to say, people are like, you kind of cut your wife off. I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to cut people off. This is what I was talking about when I said that sometimes I jump in on conversations. And she really didn't mention about it. I kind of got it from not too much. Other people said stuff to me. Her point was that she was talking to people from services or from school who happened to be Catholic, and they were like, they didn't understand some things. Why priests can't marry or particular things. And to commend her, she said, well, listen, it's really not in the Bible. That's kind of all made up by man. This was the point she was trying to get to. And then I cut her off because her point that I had thought of was leading into my next point. So I jumped in. There was a good segue for her to say those things. And she is an introverted person. Not to just talk about her for a second. This is a good example. Over the years, she's gotten better. So I'm kind of saying this. If she can get better, other people can get better. She's learned to talk to people. And the people were like, well, I'm going to have to go home and study this. And that was my next point. After all these different things, you've got to read the room. We've got to know a certain point where people don't want to talk anymore about either the Bible. They don't want to talk about religion or those spiritual things. They don't want to be hammered on. You got to know when to stop. And she said, that's when I dropped it. So that's when I said, not to cut you off, but I thought I knew her point. And that wasn't the point she was trying to make. But it really led into my next, that really led into my next point, that we need to read the room a little bit. If you're going to be a good conversationalist, we need to read body language. There's you can tell if you're talking with someone, maybe it's about something spiritual, or maybe it's something personal going on in their life. Sometimes you can hit a nerve, and you just got to be able to read people like, okay, they're not wanting to talk about this anymore. Just change the subject, and we can do that. Sometimes I think it's on us, and we feel like we are responsible. Of course, we're responsible to teach people, but we're responsible to just hammer all five steps of salvation in there. And it's not necessarily going to work that way. Some of this stuff might take years. Some of it might never come about. Some of it we can go ahead and invite people or talk spiritual things within that conversation, and you think it's going great, and then they just stop. Okay, well, that's when we need to learn how to back off sometimes. A story that at least it helped me. And by the way, if there's something that you would like to bring up, just go ahead and raise your hand. But for me personally, this was kind of a life-changing moment, I should say. Back in my 20s, I look back now and I think at times I was pretty arrogant. When it comes to the gospel, I think I was pretty arrogant. I don't know what it was, but I think I would get into a discussion with a person. Well, that's not even the right name of the church. You're using instrumental music? What? That's not even in the scripture. And I look back now and I think, man, shame on me. There was a guy that I worked with at our particular job at the time, you just worked side by side. You were there for hours next to this person. You would be there next, and so you get into conversations. Well, there was a particular gentleman, and I don't know how we got onto the subject, probably me, about religion or whatever. And I said, well, do you go to church anywhere? And he And he says, well, he goes, when I was younger, my parents, I can't remember if it was apostolic or Pentecostal, I can't remember. But he was raised very strictly, very, very, very strictly. Probably even to the point where maybe there's some things that God didn't even legislate, that maybe his mom or dad, or, and they were very strict. And he said, and so that kind of turned me off from religion. So I said, well, listen, first of all, if I remember correctly, I said, those particular religion, you can't even read about them in the Bible. And I will never forget what he said next, because at that moment, it helped me. He said, you asked me a question, and I answered it. Whoa, okay. At that moment, I learned how I got to start reading people, change the subject a little bit. Maybe I don't need to tell them right then that the scripture or particular religion that he was raised in, that's not even found in the Bible. Let's find another way around this. I can't remember what happened to that guy. He moved on or whatnot. But that was a particular, I don't know if that helps you out or not, but it helped me out to realize I got to stop. I got to start reading the room. This is not all going to get taken care of in one conversation. This is a marathon. We're not sprinting here. This might take years and years of you setting a good example, you being there for other people, for non-Christians, them seeing how we are through times of trial, and then maybe eventually it will get to that point. And you can invite them to services, or maybe you might have to invite them to services 10 times. We don't know. Maybe they'll get here. But that's, I wanted to share that with you, that was something for me that really kind of changed my life here. You got to give some breathing room. I'm going over some of my notes. I realized I went back and listened, and I was like, okay, I think I skipped over some things as I was going through. But we got to give some breathing rooms and change the subject if you have to with people. Let them know that you can talk about other things other than religion. I've heard of preachers before that's the only thing they can talk about. Like when you talk, listen, that's a great way to be, that's what you want to talk about. But there are people that don't want to talk about it all the time. Change the subject. Jesus had a way of making things come natural. There was individuals like Paul, when he taught, he didn't just hammer people with the Bible. He would find ways, he would use tact in order to get into that conversation, but try to bring it back to something spiritual. You never know when the person might ask you a question about the Bible or something in the future. They're going to remember the conversations that you were in. I also brought up how we talk about sin. We live in a time in which so many people don't know that they're in sin, but yet they think what they're doing is still okay. That is most of the world. We talk about not getting a conversation with someone and say, man, that person's just a drunk, or that person's just shacking up, or I cannot believe the way she was dressed. I cannot, that is just nasty, the way that person was dressed. Listen, yeah, maybe they shouldn't be dressed that way. And I sometimes question a lot of dads and allow daughters to go out in certain ways. But that's not going to help out another individual by kind of putting them down. Everybody dresses, it seems to be, 90% of girls or guys, however, they dress in a certain way or they talk a certain way for us to just put down. Why do you think they do that? Because if we're around the world, the world's around the world. And so we've got to learn how we talk about sin. Never encourage it. Get to a point where we can discuss these type of things, but putting someone down for the way that they feel or the way that they're kind of living their life, that is never going to work. And we've got to be very careful about talking to other people about that, because that doesn't resonate very well with someone else. Even if they're not in that same moral situation, it doesn't resonate with them very well if we're putting down someone else over here saying, I can't believe they're living. Yeah, they're in sin, but they're of the world. And we need to at least be cognizant of how people are perceiving us. We brought up Jesus, the fact that the woman at the well, he never even brought up the fact that she was in fornication. And if you really study that, that's what it was coming down to. He said, you did well. He's bring your husband. And she says, I don't have one. He said, you're saying it correctly. You've had five. The one you're with is not even your husband now. But he went on to talk about water that brings everlasting, it's going to quench your thirst everlastingly. And so he was able to turn around spiritually. Does that mean if they were in a conversation long enough that he would have never said that? No. Jesus eventually would bring out sin, but he didn't do it right then. And so you kind of have to gauge where the person is at mentally, where they are at from a knowledge, from the Bible, things that they have gone through. I have come across people that have had horrible, horrible lives. I could give, I got a little bit of time. There's a girl named Cece lives in West Akron. Cece has a child. She's older. And when I say older, she's older than me. Cece has never been married to a man. That's the world we live in. Cece was abused as a child. One of the nicest people, but she's bipolar. Kind person, but she's kind of, when you get some days, you'll walk in. She worked at a particular cell phone shop, and she would kind of be crying. Something's going on. She'd be the only one there, and it's, you okay? I'm doing okay, okay. She had a horrible life growing up. Abused. She is now married to a woman. Cece got an invitation to come to church. The interesting thing is, Cece is already involved in a church somewhere. This is the world that we live in. People that embrace things. We cannot embrace sin. But we can be kind to sin. We can invite sin to learn the truth, or people that are in sin to learn the truth. I did not hammer on why you should not be married to a woman. I did not hammer all the homosexual verses right then. Sometimes you just need to listen to people. Inviting her, I don't see her much anymore. Actually, I hardly ever see her. She doesn't work on my route. But that was kind of an eye-opener for me that here she'll talk about God. I've invited her to services. She has not been here yet. It would be nice to someone, obviously, like that. But these people have come from backgrounds that are absolutely just... I don't want to say that that's the reason why they live the life that they do, but in a sense, it didn't help them out in their particular decisions. So we need to be aware of these kind of people, and we need to read body language with people. We never want to put people down right then and there. Go ahead, Jean. Right.
And it has all the verses there. You know, that she decides to. So our neighbor, he was talking, come over and talking on the porch. And I just thought it was a great thing. We're not very invasive. We're asking you questions.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and got the slide out of my drawer.
Yeah.
And I gave it to him. Way, you're not pushing anything on him.
Yeah.
He has questions. He can go, you know, I try to get across that, you know, we just listen to the Bible. What's in the Bible?
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? They don't feel like they're invasive because you're letting them do the work.
Yeah.
If they're really interested, and then if they have questions,
they come right back to you. They can, yeah, or you can find some.
I just think it's a great tool.
I'll talk to Todd about getting those. Are a great. There's 100 different things on why we do what we do. The name. I mean, I can't even explain this little slide. And at one point, I was like, I wanted to memorize one verse for all those. Just one verse for all those different things. The things we teach, the organization of the church, all these different things. And I know what slide you're talking about. I'll talk to Todd. You guys, we really need to get those things. It really helps us out in studying those. Go ahead, Al. Oh, right here. Yeah, hold that up, Steve. Yes, there we go. And it just slides along and shows the verse per question. It's really a great tool. I wish I'd have come up with it. Go ahead.
Really
Yeah. Yeah, they.
We have to gain their trust. And like when you said about sometimes we say the wrong thing, when we're early on in our Christianity, our zeal overtakes our wisdom because we don't have it yet. And so we can't beat ourselves up for saying it wrong. But I love what Isaiah 55:11 says. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And so if it's God's word that does the saving, and if we recognize we're just a part of that, and if we gently bring it, God's word does.
Just sowing the seed. That is a great verse, because what that, as Paul talked about, not having creeds, we just use the Bible. That verse right there is all about God. It goes back. His voice, his word does not come back to him void. If someone obeys the gospel, it did its purpose. If someone doesn't like you because you teach the gospel, it did its purpose. That is the purpose. This is about hearts. This is about changing hearts. And if someone doesn't want to, or the opportunity to change your life, but if they don't want to, it ultimately comes down to them. Our job is to sow the seed. Who gives the increase? God gives the increase. Let me get back to where I was here. Okay. As far as helping out other individuals, do you remember that Paul, there was a number of things in 1 Corinthians that, I mean, they had all kinds, they were divisive. They had a brother that was living with his stepmother, basically. They were suing one another. They weren't taking the Lord's Supper right. They had all these gifts that they were basically selfish about, and they were using them. They were messed up on the resurrection. All these different things that Paul does eventually correct them on, but you know what he did first? The very first thing that he thanked God for them. He was thankful for these people that are really kind of messed up right now. Like they can get it fixed, and by 2 Corinthians, there's a lot of things they fixed. But he was thankful to God for these people who had all these different problems. Now these are members. These are members of the Lord's body. These are people that have obeyed the gospel, and yet he was thankful for these people. He had an opportunity to still help them, and that's what we need to be thankful for. People that are just even willing. There's times when someone says they go to church. I know it's not a congregation or a church that you can read about in the scripture. I'm just happy at this point that they believe. Like, there's a starting point. So we need to instead of putting people down, and not that maybe we wouldn't say that outright, but in the back of our head, sometimes we're like, I can't believe how they live. We need to get that mentality. We can't allow it to act out. Paul was mad, but he allowed it, and he was able to teach people through that tact and through the anger. He was able to control it. We need to do the same things. So how do we put this in action? All that, I almost recapped basically in a half hour. How do we put this into action? We need to look for opportunities to be available to people that are lost, people of the world. That is simply put. We want to surround ourselves with people that are like-minded, that are Christians. We want to do that. But we're surrounded by... Do you guys have neighbors? You guys have neighbors, right? Which means you are a neighbor. You're around people that are lost. We've got family members. We've got friends. We've got neighbors that are lost. Nothing wrong with being friendly with these people. We can get involved. Maybe you're an introvert, extrovert. We can get involved in the community if you want to. Wouldn't it be good to have council members that are members of the church? Wouldn't it be, if we have people on the Board of Education that were members of the church, wouldn't it be nice? Now, political ranks, I think, if you were honest, it's going to be hard to really get up the political ranks. Someone's not going to like you. But we need to possibly be involved more with our neighbors. So at the very least, we can do those type of things. Maybe you're older. Maybe you can't get out and go over to the neighbor's house or whatever. But you know what? You can probably make something for that individual. Maybe they just moved in. Someone's sick. You can bake something for them. You can write cards. You can make calls. We need to make ourselves available as Christians to those that are lost. If you, maybe walking in the neighborhood. I'm just giving very quick examples of things. People walk around our neighborhood left and right, and you can walk. You get to know people. Jokingly, because you know me, I talk to everyone. I live on a corner. If you've been to my house, we live in a corner. It's kind of a busy corner. All my neighbors jokingly call me the mayor of St. Ives. We live in a neighborhood called St. Ives. They call me the mayor because I do. I talk to a lot of people. I got a lot of cell phone numbers, and you just get into conversation. I'm not making that great about me because there's probably times when I could have turned something spiritual that maybe I haven't. And I didn't look into this. So I need to get better at these things. However, even as an introvert or a person that doesn't, there's things that you can do. There's kindness you can show. We need to make ourselves more available to the lost. Jesus was eating with sinners, was he not? He was with the tax collectors, and they said, who's this? Sitting with those that are sinners. And he said, who needs the physician? Right? Those that are sick, right? Jesus is not going to involve himself in sin. Let me qualify that. Do not involve yourself in sin. That is wrong. But not every person that is lost is engaged in sin. We have to understand, there was another, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 27, and when he talks about the eating of meats, the context there is, eating of meats. He says, whatever's placed down in front of you, just eat it. Don't ask if it was about idols. And that's not what this part is for. But there's something beautiful about that first part. Actually, 1 Corinthians 10:27. If you want to look it up, I'm just going to paraphrase it. He says, if an unbeliever invites you and you decide to go, just eat whatever's in front of you. Now, the context is about eating meats. But who invited you over and you decided to go? An unbeliever. So what's Paul saying? Is it okay to hang out with people that aren't Christians? Yes. I'm going to qualify this here in a second here. But sometimes we can get into a mentality where we should never be around people that aren't worldly. How are we going to talk to people about the gospel or even set a good example if we're not around worldly people? That is not a choice, by the way. Paul said, you're in the world. I can't take you out of this world. You're in it. So whether or not we accept this, we're in the world. So we got to do something, but you do not have to be of the world. Matthew 5 and verse 16. Actually, probably starting back in verse 14 to 15. A light on a hill, it's going to be hard to hide, isn't it? Right? You know, it's going to be hard to hide this city sitting up on a hill at nighttime when there's a light sitting there. It's going to be hard. But what if you're a light among a bunch of lights? Well, that's not necessarily doing anything for the world, is it? I started to think about this last night. This was not my original notes. But if I was to say, okay, there's this military guy. He's a very devout man. One that fears God. In fact, his whole family fears God. He gives people out here on the streets, he gives them money. He helps out where it's needed. He's a person who always prays. However, he's not a Christian. Is that someone? Sounds like a pretty good guy to hang around with, right? You know who I'm talking about? Cornelius. How about a traveling woman, businesswoman, who she's surrounding herself by religious people, and she's away from her hometown, but it says that she's a God-fearing woman. However, she's not a Christian. Who am I talking about? Lydia. Would you hang out with Lydia? Now, mind you, these are not members at this time. These are not members of the Lord's church. How about a prisoner, a prison guard, who's around prisoners all the time? He's kind of down on his luck because the jail just opened up, and he's saying, I can't believe this. I'm about to kill myself. Who are we talking about? The Philippian jailer, who was not a member of the church. All three of these people are then later converted. Do you see? You guys kind of picking up what I'm dropping here? There's a lot of good people out there that have good hearts. And they're going to have some problems. They might cuss and do some of these things. However, I've learned to gauge when my example is stronger than theirs. And it's when they start to kind of change their language. Or they'll start to say it, oh, Matt, I'm sorry, oops. Or they'll start to say something, they totally switch it to another word. Well, you know what? I appreciate that. It's not, I tell them all the time, You don't worry about me. You got to worry about God. But I do appreciate the fact that they're doing that. This is the kind of people that we can hang out. Do not be a part of sin. And I wrote down a couple different things here. I put on here, oh yeah, if they have zero respect for your beliefs, then drop. If you're a young kid or anyone hanging out with people and they have zero respect and they are trying to get you in to doing what they're doing and there's peer pressure and you're showing no example, get rid of them. But I want to do this example. I learned this years ago. So let's say, who's about the same size? Well, Connor's in the back. Some of you guys are about the same size as me, Ryan. If Ryan got down here, who's going to be easier to pull up? Me? Am I able to pull him up easier or is he able to pull me down? Ryan's going to, just gravity alone can pull me down, right? However, Emma, if Emma's right here, I think I got her beat. I think I can pull her up. Physically, he's stronger than Emma. If you are mentally and you're knowledgeable and you're mentally strong enough as a Christian to be around those that are lost, and you can fight these things off, and you know that. You've got self-awareness. We need to be aware of ourselves and how far we can go. Never teeter-totter on sin. But if we're a strong enough Christian, that is going to show. And those are going to be opportunities to teach. Okay, we got just a few minutes. There's some things I want to do. I might just start reading this. Don't get discouraged, because this is not the easiest thing to do. Our job, though, is to sow the seed. It's so easy to convince ourselves that we can't do this. It's actually much easier than we think at times. We will say that we have no talent at all. I'm just not good at talking. I'm not good at doing these things. Maybe you're an introvert. That's perfectly fine, but you do have abilities. The parable of the talents, right? The thing is, the master really didn't expect, you read that, he didn't have a quota that they had to reach, but there was 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. Rex, is this your forte right here, going up to people and just start talking to them? That's not right. Okay. Are you a kind person? Okay, you're a kind person. You speak English. Okay. Hermes, you got us covered on that. You got 2 languages. You a good listener? Okay. Do you have a car? You can drive different people. Do you have time? You're retired, right? You've got killer time, right? Right there now, Rex is, if you look at it in broad sense, he's kind of a 5-talented guy right there. Just those abilities. You know, you might come across someone who can't get a ride. Well, listen, I can offer you a ride. You can lend an ear to talk to someone. Maybe at the grocery store you get to talking with someone. You're a kind individual, right? I think do you see where I'm going with this? Maybe some people have two talents. We all have an ability. It's whether we decide, I'm not going to use that ability. Do never be discouraged about the ability that you do have. Just use it and build on it. I personally have gotten better. I'm not the greatest, but I have gotten better. Do you know how to give a cup of cold water? Yeah, we kind of know that scripture, right? He said, if you give a cup of cold water now to his disciples, you're not going to lose your reward. But that's very something that we can do, is to help out someone, right? The point is that we are all useful in the kingdom. We have something to give. We all have these different abilities. And we talked about sowing the seed. Very quickly, I really want everyone to raise their hand on this one. If you were not, quote unquote, raised in the church, I don't like that phrase, but if you were not raised with parents that brought you to services every day, I want you to raise your hand. But you are here today. If you were not raised, how many people? Oh, yeah, look. Keep them up for a second. Now, I want everyone to look around. See that? We've got men in the back teaching class that were never raised in the church. Why? Because someone invited them to come to services. Whether it's a girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, friend. Listen, I've had atheists come to church with me just because we were going in high school. One of my best friends didn't try to get me to do bad things, but he was an atheist. Never tried to get me to believe his way. He was the only one allowed to drive my car, though. My dad was like, Bobby's the only one allowed to drive your car. His dad trusted him. He came to services with me one time. I've had other friends come to services. You invite them. Also, very quickly. Okay. Give me 30 seconds on it, Bill. Oh! Okay. So have you ever done this calculator? If we take 20 of us, very quickly, if we take 20 of us, that in the next 2 years, just 20 of us, and we invite someone to services, or we're able to get them converted, in 2 years, that'll be 20 people, right? So in 2 years, if those same 20 people that you invited, plus you, got one person within 2 years, in 4 years, we would have 40 people here. So if those same 40 people invited someone or concentrated on someone to try to bring to services and try to convert them, in 6 years, we're going to have 80 people. In 8 years, we're going to have 360 people. Now, what are we going to do? Do you see what I'm saying? This is very doable. We just happen to live in a world that it's not the worst. I will tell you, people say, I can't believe it's, this is just horrible. Listen, Rome was pretty bad in the first century. So we got a little bit to work with, and we have the freedom to preach. So this is something that's very doable. Just work on it with yourself. Pray about it. Study about it. Be kind. Talk to people. Kind of get out there a little bit. Kind of broaden your horizons. And just get into natural conversations. Make it natural. Jesus was at the well because he needed water. Make it natural. Thanks for your attention.